Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Mystic Truth Radio. I am Elaine Reed Cole, the Winged Mystic, and I am here today with a topic that is so very current right now, and something that I think can really use even more exposure. It is transgender and parenting. And it's a parent's perspective on unconditional love. And I am joined today by Cynthia Fontaine, who is really experiencing this topic, this subject matter herself, and really has some insight for anybody out there who is listening and these conditions have touched your life. So, Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you, Elaine. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. And this is a subject that is very close to my heart. So thank you for, wanting to talk about this today.
Well, you know what? This is something that I myself, along with, all of society and stuff, we've been watching it come out into the limelight more and more. And it's such a personal topic. And, mostly what we really want to do is take away the prejudices and the preconceived notions and, really move into a place where we just stop judging each other and really move into acceptance of our differences and do those differences really matter? So why don't we start out with you and your story?
Okay, well, I've been a single parent for, I guess 20 years now, and I have two children. I have a son who's in his 30s, and then I have a transgender daughter who is in her early 20s. And it was really clear, even as a young child, that my daughter really liked to spend time in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
And was much more feminine than her brother. And so growing up, it was difficult for her, particularly in the house with my son, because my son was actually really cruel to my daughter.
That's hard.
It was very hard, and so there was, some will say, not real violence where he would beat Brian up or anything like that, but there was a lot of comments and negativity and things like that, and it was very difficult to try to have harmony in the house because there's almost 9 years between the two kids. So it got to the point where when Ryan was about 9, I said to Ryan, "Honey, you have to stop going in my closet. You can't wear my shoes or clothes anymore or go into my jewelry box. It's just not a good idea."
Mm-hmm.
And it was really because I was concerned that things in the house would escalate.
Right.
And eventually I actually had to ask my older son to leave, which was a pretty difficult thing to do.
Well, sure, that's a parent having to make a choice.
Right, and, with my daughter being so much younger, it got to a point one day where I had a car accident, and I wasn't able to drive, and one of my coworkers had taken me to the doctors, and my son and daughter were home together, and my son at that point, I think, was 19, and my daughter was about 10. And I had just come back home, and I was outside the front door for 5 minutes or so talking to my coworker before I went in the house. And then all of a sudden, my son comes running out of the house and takes a horse bridle, because my daughter has ridden horses since she was 5, and throws this expensive horse bridle 30 feet up into the pine tree, and she's hysterical. And so, you know, of course, I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. Ryan whipped my son with the horse bridle with the middle bit on it, because Justin was apparently teasing Ryan. And Justin had, you know, I had caught him several times giving, you know, punching Ryan. It would be like one punch, hard punch, and then take off. So it wasn't like that he would be there beating her up. But so apparently Justin had punched Ryan, and Ryan had had enough. And being 10 years old and, you know, her older brother being 19, there was a very big size discrepancy.
Sure.
And so Ryan grabbed the horse bridle and started beating her brother with it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, to the point where it looked like Justin had been just taken off the cross when Jesus Christ was whipped and crucified.
Oof.
It was pretty severe. And throwing up blood, the whole everything. And so at that point, you know, I knew that I could not keep Justin in the house with Ryan. Tough, really tough thing to have to choose between your child's safety and, you know, loving both your children.
Right. Now, what do you think in hindsight, because this is, you know, a couple of years behind you now, in hindsight, that made Justin feel so threatened by the fact that his brother was now his sister?
Well, you know, at that point, Ryan hadn't made the transition. So I think it was fear. It was a homophobic fear.
Yep.
And
yeah.
It was more based on that. And I don't know really where it came from. Although I do have some members of the family who are prejudiced, homophobic, and I didn't typically spend a lot of time with those people in the family. And so I don't know if Justin really, you know, picks it up from his friends or school, you know, or just society in general.
I think maybe it was probably society in general. We are talking, you know, a few years ago, and it's nice to see that there's a bit more of a trend to acceptance for differences. However, you know what? Those prejudices are still out there now. Now, would you say that their relationship is any better than it was?
Well, no, actually not, because Justin decided almost 7 years ago that he didn't want to talk to us anymore. And at the time, he was not, you know, he had gotten into drugs and, you know, not really serious drugs, but, you know, any drugs affect you, and had been doing some drugs for several years. And that was also part of the reason why I wanted him out of the house as well, but mostly because, you know, of what was going on between the two children.
Him and Ryan.
Right. And when he was at the house, it was marijuana, which, you know, it's legal in so many states now that I have mixed feelings about
that's
that.
Another
anyway,
topic for another day. You know what? This is kind of a case in point of some miscommunication and not being able to communicate and
right.
pent up emotions. And then, you know, it's too bad. This is kind of a common occurrence when we have families that have
right.
either, you know, some type of trauma in it, you know, either an addiction or,
right.
you know, like what you're experiencing. People
right.
forget about the ripple effect of a movement
right.
that one person can make. But if you are part of a unit,
mm-hmm.
the repercussions go through the whole unit. So
right,
we're
absolutely.
Seeing the repercussions here from, you know, something that your I'll say son/daughter, Ryan,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
And then the backlash from it. And this is something that she had no choice in.
Well,
and
absolutely.
That's the thing that, you know,
right.
we really want to put out there to, you
right.
know, even your older son or any of your
right.
relatives, is
right.
that Ryan didn't have a choice. It, you know, when you have feelings, when you yearn for something, because it's not
right.
even just a want, you know, I mean, all of us out there, we want, say, like a certain car, or we
right.
want a certain piece of clothing, or we want a pet.
Right.
A yearning is something else. A yearning goes so deep that
absolutely.
It becomes your only focus. Like you have to, you must, you know, just like you have to take a breath, you
right.
have to. So here's Ryan at an
right.
early age who is like yearning to be something that some doctor said he wasn't.
Right,
he was.
Right. Right. And, you know, even in school, though Ryan dressed as a male all through high school, graduating. In fact, Ryan was the crowned the class king and queen. Ryan was crowned the king.
Yeah.
Senior year of high school. So, you know, Ryan conformed clothing wise throughout the school years up until college. And the first year of college is when that started to shift. But even, you know, in the middle school years, Ryan went to private Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade. And there were many of Ryan's classmates that were brutal to Ryan, even though Ryan appeared to be just look just like them.
Yeah.
But Ryan rode horses, and they thought that was for girls, you know, that kind of thing. And at one point in seventh grade, the principal actually called me into the school to ask me to buy Ryan a different kind of underwear because the kids were making fun of the whitey-tighty underwear. And I said, why should my child have to change because these kids are bullying her? Shouldn't you be calling those kids' parents and those kids into the office?
Correct.
You know, and it's a problem in schools. And this was, you know, this was even before Ryan transitioned, you know, made the outward appearance transition.
Right, right.
So what about kids that are identifying early and are making the transition earlier? What about those kids, you know?
It's a shame because I think that those kids wind up feeling broken. Like, I'm not worthy, I'm broken, you know, and so everybody looks at me like I'm broken. And unfortunately,
right.
quite often, those are the children and young adults that wind up becoming addicts because
right.
they have no way of, you know, acceptance, so they try to drown it out.
Right, or they commit suicide because there's a very high rate of suicide in the trans community. And in the LBG community in general, but even more so in the trans community, because they are twice as likely to have crimes committed against them than any other segment of the population. And last year alone, there were 20 trans women killed in the country, and those were only the reported ones.
Yeah.
And those were all hate, those were 20 hate crimes. Where these women were brutally, some of them brutally murdered. And it, you know, it's really a problem. And even in, so there's the rates are that majority of victims of hate crime in the United States, now this is statistics from 2013, violent homicides were 72% higher against transgendered women. And police brutality, are transgendered people are seven times more likely to experience physical violence when interacting with the police.
Okay, so, you know, I hear statistics like that, and I literally want to throw up. It makes me so sad. Now, there's a point that I want to make in the perspective that I see things from. Because my audience out there, and you know that I do a lot of angel work. I do. And angels have no gender. They personify a type of personality, which we assign a gender to. But angels are androgynous. They are these energetic beings that they are neither male nor female. They just are. And that, what they are, is our true essence. That's our essence also. So when we're born into this world, we just put the vestments on of being human, but it's not what we are. It's not who we are. So why do we make such a big deal out of our gender, out of our hair color, skin color, eye color, our dialect, you know, it's all like, God, that's so superficial.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And to be angry and torture something that is so superficial, like, why do you spend so much time on that? Does that, it doesn't matter.
No, yeah, I agree with you. And actually, if we look at Native American tribes, they actually would, in the Native American tribe they, culture, they would call the people who were androgynous Wankatees. And the Wankatee of the tribe was actually the wise person in the tribe. And everyone would go to the Wankatee for counseling. They would take the babies to the Wankatee to have the children named. The marriages, everything went through the Wankatee of the tribe, not the chief, but the wise person of the tribe, and that was the person who was androgynous.
Yep.
And they were honored and held in the highest, you know, position in the tribe, you know, right up against the chief.
Yep, because their thinking was not based upon their own personal experiences or prejudices. They were clear of that.
Right.
So again, for people, you know, we can definitely say it's a low mentality of those who are brutal towards people who are different.
Right, and, you know, for what reason, you know, I mean, really, who really knows? Why aren't there people in ISIS? Who knows? But it's really, you know, it's important, I think, to raise the level of consciousness. And I really feel strongly that the world spiritual leaders of the day, like the Dalai Lama, for example, who, the Dalai Lama has been quoted for years and multiple times saying the Western woman is going to save, the world, society. Mm-hmm. I really feel it's even a step above that. I feel that these beings who have come to take on these lives that are so difficult are really the element that is going to help the whole world shift.
I like
and
that.
It's because they're so balanced. If they have the support that they, really need, they mm-hmm. are very well-balanced people because they have aspects of both the genders.
Right.
And though, I have family members who have been very prejudiced and, have been for decades, it's been very interesting because Ryan has now shifted their perspective because they have watched Ryan grow up. My dad and stepmom are the best examples of this, where, when I finally said to them just before Christmas, hey, look, you guys should know. And they, my stepmother said, well, we wish you had told us sooner. but I didn't because I was afraid of how they would react because of all the years of the bashing of, other relatives in the family. I had my great uncle Arthur was General MacArthur's personal secretary, and he was gay, but he was buried with the highest military honors. And mm-hmm. I would say to my dad, how can you think that he was not a good person? What does it matter what he did in his personal life?
Right.
It doesn't affect you.
Right.
And I think that's a real, misconception with a lot of people is, a lot of people have this conception that there are a lot of people in the LGBT community who, because they identify differently than, the norm, men, women, couples, that they're not safe. And it is the most untrue thing.
Right.
It's the most untrue thing.
Right. I have an interesting question for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if we go way back mm-hmm. to when when Ryan was just young and mm-hmm. getting into your clothes and your jewelry and all that, mm-hmm. because I want the parents' perspective. The day when you actually realized this is probably going to go further. How did you feel? How did your heart feel?
It never crossed my mind. Honestly.
It never crossed your mind?
It never crossed my mind.
Okay.
I had no problem with Ryan being in my closet, being in my shoes, wearing my jewelry. It never crossed my mind.
Okay.
And when Ryan did, come to me and say, I'm transgender, I said, okay. And honestly, my biggest concern was for Ryan's safety and how society would now view Ryan in the transition period.
Right.
And
now, don't
really,
you kind of think that you knew, like before the words even came out of his mouth, that you...
Oh, yeah. Ryan was very androgynous.
Yeah.
Very androgynous. And Ryan was, very happy at the barn that was filled with all girls. And at the time, it was very difficult to find boys' show clothing because Ryan was on the hunter-jumper circuit and rode in A-class and did very well. And so Ryan would have to wear girls' jackets. And Brian totally didn't mind, you know. And
no.
I'm like, well, okay, if you don't mind, that's fine with me.
Yep.
You know, and it just, it never occurred to me that Ryan was anything other than what Ryan was.
See, and that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, as the parent of, you knew already. And I think that that is something for an awful lot of parents out there. If you just move out of fear, you can really just take a reality look at your children.
Right.
And who
right.
they are, rather than
right.
expecting who you wanted them to be. How about taking
right.
a look at who they really, really are?
Right, absolutely. And you know, had I known more about transgender earlier, I would have supported Ryan in whatever choice that she had made. If she wanted to make the transition earlier, I would have supported that.
Mm-hmm.
And really, honestly, my biggest fear was her safety.
Yeah.
You know, because she went to college in the Boston area, and interned actually for GLAAD in Boston, which is a legal organization that helps the LBG community,
mm-hmm.
and they do a lot of, you know, events to promote acceptance and nonviolence and things like that. And so Ryan would be on the, you know, the T,
yep.
you know, several days a week back and forth. And my biggest concern was especially at night when Ryan was on the T, you
right.
know.
Right.
But Ryan is one of those people who is just naturally beautiful.
I have
so,
seen pictures of Ryan, and Ryan is a very attractive person, very.
Yes, very much so. And so I think, you know, in the community, it's a little bit easier for Ryan than some other people who are trans who, you know, have a more difficult time with their appearance. Say, you know, for example, if they're a transgender woman and they have a lot of thick facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tricky. It's really tricky. And it's interesting because I actually created a whole line of skin products for Ryan, because Ryan had such sensitive skin, every time Ryan would shave, there'd be this massive breakout. And there's a word for it, but I can't. I think it's like shaving dermatitis or something. I don't know. And I actually created skin products for Ryan, and I have a shave balm that it's the best thing that you can do for your skin, whether you know you're a woman or a man, because you not only get the best closest shave ever, but it's really good and healthy for your skin too. So, you know, so that come out of all of this, and not because Ryan's trans, but because Ryan had such sensitive skin.
Right.
But leading, you know, going, making the transition also, where to make it easier, you know, for Ryan, it's difficult, and I am very supportive. And so when I had the opportunity to offer Ryan laser treatments and things like that, you know, I was grateful that I was blessed and in a position at the time to be able to do that.
Okay.
And you know, and it's actually fun now. Like, we can shop together. And there was a period of time, especially in high school, where it was so hard to shop because,
sure,
you know, Ryan wasn't happy with anything that I bought or even shot. She hated to shop. And, you know, it was because she really wanted to dress in as her true self, but didn't have the courage to say, hey, Mom, you know, let's go to the women's department.
Right.
And, you know, in a way, it would have been a lot probably easier for her, you know, had she. And it really never occurred to me to even suggest it.
Well, but live and learn, and that's why
right.
we do a show like this, to actually, you know, make it so that it's okay.
Right.
It's okay to be able to do that. You know, you were saying that, and I thought it's really too bad that, you know, Ellen.com wasn't out there a bit more. 'Cause, you know, that girl has the best stylist ever. And, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to see that there are options out there for people that, you know, so maybe they don't want to necessarily dress to a point where they're in a dress, but they want to start looking, you know, a bit more androgynous, you know, the middle of the road kind of thing. And there are options out there now.
Right. And you know, in the early part of the transition, I think that, you know, it's difficult because at one point, you know, Ryan just wanted to present the way that she has felt inside since she was a young child. And probably since birth. But society has a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Where you just all of a sudden, you know, one day you go home and then the next day you walk out the door and you're a different person. It's hard for society to accept that. And so, you know, we sort of ease into it over a period of about 6 months, you know, to a year. Where, you know, the style started to change and the length of jeans got flare-legged and then, you know, the heels got a little higher and then, you know, that sort of thing. And really it was, and you know, really just to help Ryan and the community make an easier transition. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it seemed to be that did make it a little bit easier. And you know, and of course, Ryan went away to college and came back a different person. And when Ryan did come back, she had worked for the same company actually since she was 12. And they had, she had an internship lined up for her, the ending of her junior year of high school in Boston. And the internship fell through 2 weeks before school ended for the summer. And so she didn't know what she was going to do for the summer. And at that point, she had made the complete transition and hadn't really spent a lot of time at home. So, you know, many of, you know, the people in town didn't know that she had made the transition over and things like that, including the people that she had worked for all of those years. Because her sophomore year of college, she actually went away. She went to Georgia to work for the summer, and that's where she was able to make the break and really, you know, stretch into who she is.
Sure, so, she was around all new people.
New people, yep. Exactly. And so she went back and forth for about 10 days. I don't know what I should do, Mom. I don't know if I should, you know, call them and see if there's a position open. I said, honey, they love you no matter what. And you are a fabulous person and an incredible employee, and they're going to want you back on the staff. There's no doubt in my mind. And so went back and forth, like I said, for about 10 days. And then one day, in less than 3 hours, Ryan passed by her boss 3 times on the road and said, you know, I think that's a sign. I think I'm going to call them. and made the call. And of course, Ryan started 2 days later. And so Ryan interned in the office Ryan is a marketing specialist and PR specialist as well. And so Ryan interned in the office, and at the end of the summer, they offered her full-time on graduation.
Awesome.
And, and I have to say that the whole, not just the entire staff, because it's a very public organization, and the whole entire community around this this organization has been so extremely supportive of Ryan because they know have known Ryan since Ryan was 12 years old.
Right.
And they've watched Ryan grow up, and they know who Ryan is as a person. And that's the most beautiful thing to when people can just know somebody at their soul level, knowing who they really are. It doesn't matter what their covering looks like.
That's right.
And
that's right.
It's really been an amazing, amazing thing. And so many people in this community have come up to me, you know, in the last year and a half, going on 2 years now, and have said, we are so proud of Ryan, and Ryan is such an inspiration that we're just so, so blessed that she's part of our community. And it's really been an amazing journey.
Well, aren't you so blessed to have Ryan as your child?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. On so many, many levels.
And it gives you the opportunity now, too, to, like what we're doing today, to share your experience and,
right.
you know, maybe help another parent out there who's maybe at the beginning stages of this.
Right, right, absolutely. And
yeah.
I actually have a transgender niece as well. Though my sister is supportive, it's not, you know, she's a different person than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So my niece has it a little bit more difficult, you know, than Ryan in many ways. And also they live down south, which is harder in many
tougher.
Ways for trans
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on where you live.
Well, again, it's society and how they think. And
right,
the more that
right.
we can put in there that, hey, everybody listen, this doesn't really matter what their preferences are. It doesn't matter.
Right,
get past
right,
it.
Right.
Get over
right.
it. Now,
right.
On, you know, a little bit of a different note,
mm-hmm.
as far as transgendering goes, because
mm-hmm.
it's different than being a transvestite.
Right.
So, yeah, do you want to explain the difference out there to the general public?
Well, transvestites, they don't identify their internal clock or their internal dialogue is what their sex is,
mm-hmm.
but they typically dress as the opposite sex, and, you know, they can also have relationships with same sex, things like that, and transgendered people can as well, but transgendered people actually internally feel like they were born in the wrong physical identification.
Yep.
And they mentally feel like they are the opposite sex of what they were physically born as.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you look medically, the hormone difference between a female and a male is only 2% difference. As a male, you have 51% testosterone, and as a female, you have 49%.
That's a very small margin, isn't it?
It's a very small margin. And all babies, when they are, what's the word that I want? All children at
when
their
they are first formed.
Seed, when they're mm-hmm. first formed, when they're first conceived, are all female. And the
That's
gender
right.
changes as they the fetus matures.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
So I thought that was very interesting.
So when someone is born with, you know, this is more the trend now, but with both male and female genitalia,
mm-hmm.
you know, the trend now is to actually wait till that child is older to give them a gender specification.
Yes.
However, I would like to see it so that it gets to a point where that decision doesn't have to be made at all.
Right, right, right.
Because yeah, why do we have to label? You know, so
yeah.
Can't that child just be who they are?
Right, right, right. And, you know, and I think society as a whole is starting to understand that, you know, these beings are people just like the rest of us. And so they're different.
Right.
You know, there were just in this country, you know, it was not that long ago where we still had segregation.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was not that long ago where women couldn't vote. When we look
That's
at
right.
the time of, you know, how long this country has been here compared to, you know, the short period of time that those things have changed, you know, we've made tremendous progress in the last 100 years, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, unfortunately, there's always going to be violence in humanity, no matter, you know, how much we hope that there won't be.
I think you're very correct. Yes.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, it's part of being, you know, in a human body.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is, you know, really start to embrace people as who they are, and understand that they're no different than you or I. And just because they identify differently doesn't make them unsafe to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make them less intelligent. In fact, I feel in many cases they're more intelligent because they're more balanced in many ways.
Yeah.
And that they have a lot to contribute to society, just like
That's
you
right.
or I.
That's right.
Just like
That's
you
right.
and I, you know.
Now, Ryan started this process a while ago. Is mm-hmm. she actually doing a lot of physical changes to her body? Like, how far is she going to take it? You know, and you don't have to answer that if you don't want
right.
to.
Right. Right, right, right. Well, like I said, Ryan's had quite a bit of laser treatment and is on a, in a medical treatment program and is in the process of beginning some of the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that process is going to start later this year. And so, yes, yeah, she is on the medical journey of making the physical changes as well.
Yep.
And has now passed the gender markers, according to the government, and is now identified legally as a woman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
That's like a big hurdle right there, like, yay.
Right,
you know, at
right,
least I
right.
made that marker. So everything comes
right.
in steps. Now,
right.
to undergo these treatments, and that's something, too, for people to, you know, really think about.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take this lightly.
The person
who's making the decision does not take this lightly, but the medical society does not take this lightly either. So.
Correct.
You know, again, this is not a whim. It's not like going out and changing your hair color or something. It's
Correct.
Really, this is a yearning. It's a yearning.
Correct.
It's a,
well,
I must. I have to.
Yeah, I think it's more than a yearning. I think, you know, it is that, you know, these people know who they are inside.
Right.
So I think it's even, I feel like it's more than a yearning. And you're correct. There's a whole protocol where you're required to be in counseling for a minimum of 12 months
mm-hmm.
before they will even consider you as a candidate to go through the process. And a lot of people are rejected. It's a very small percentage of people that who are actually allowed to proceed medically, you know, which I hope that that will change. And, you know, the other big piece of that is that insurance does not cover any of it.
And I did not know that.
Yeah, insurance does not cover any of it. Although Massachusetts is the first state to require that the insurance does pay for hormone treatments and things like that.
Okay, so it's starting to trend in the right direction then. Okay.
Yeah, so Massachusetts is the first state that has made it a requirement for the health insurance to cover the treatment.
Okay.
But they still won't pay for the surgery.
So the surgery, because you and I, we both watched it. We haven't talked about it yet. But the Oscar-winning movie, it just won, The Danish Girl.
Yes.
So, and if you haven't seen it, for anybody out there, spoiler alert, because it actually is placed in, when do you think it was, like the 1930s, 20s, 30s?
Yes, it was. The movie goes through a period of time through the 20s and into, I think it was to 1930 or 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this person is, you know, in the process of identifying herself as a woman, and the torture and the prejudices, and then, unfortunately, and here's the spoiler, you know, passes away in the end because the surgery that she was going through to become a female, well, it did her in.
That was that.
Now, imagine being one of the first people to go through this thing, to be, you know, I mean, it's
she actually
the forefront.
Was, it's actually a true story.
Yeah.
And she was the first person to go through the surgical process. And she made it successfully through the first surgery. And that was to remove the male part. And then and in the movie and in real life, she was a married couple and had been married for 6 years when her wife, who was an artist, they were both artists and they had met in art school. They had gotten married, and they were very much a happily married couple. When her wife had a person who was sitting for her for one of her portraits who continually wasn't showing up for the sitting. And so she asked her husband one day to put on the nylons and the shoes of the woman who was supposed to be sitting for her so she could finish this portrait. And then asked to hold up the dress, and then so the story begins. And it really, you know, it really did portray very well, I thought, how much that the Gerda, the wife artist, was so supportive of the husband and the transition, even though she didn't understand it, but she was so supportive because when you love someone, you will, you know, it's no different than, for example, if you love someone who is an addict, you're going to do whatever you can do to help that person. And it really was a beautiful love story. And it's a courageous story because Ina, who when, you know, in the beginning part of her life, her male name was Ina, and then so when Gerda started painting the portrait, she said, "Let's call you Lily. You're Lily," and Ina became Lily.
Yep.
And it was really a beautiful transition to see happen and to see watch, and the love story between the two people. and they didn't separate. And it wasn't until that, and this part doesn't show in the movie, but the Danish government actually nullified their marriage when they found out that Lily was making a transition to being a female. And then they actually did separate after that because they felt then that it wasn't right to live together anymore. But they had lived many years together as a female couple. And then, so when she went to have the second surgery, which is to create the female parts, Gerda didn't feel that she was strong enough yet from the first surgery, but Lily felt that she had to do it because she was so tormented and so wanted to be a full woman that she went ahead with the surgery, and there were complications, and she did pass away from complications from the second surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, in the 1930s, any surgery was pretty rough.
Right.
But that particular surgery, when it's the first time any surgery is done, you know, it's extremely risky.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are surgeons in this country who have worked really hard to perfect this type of surgery, and we have some very skilled doctors in the Boston area, and it's funny because they seem to, the great doctors seem to gravitate to the coasts.
Yeah, they do.
And there's a very highly well-respected trans woman surgeon in California who is considered to be the top surgeon in this field, and she has had the surgery herself. And I don't recall her name at the moment.
I was going to say, that'd be fascinating to put that name out there for people who, you know, really want to look it up. So, you know what we'll do? If you can find that, then we'll post it on the Mystic Truth Radio page on Facebook.
Okay, yep, that sounds great. I know that Ryan knows the name probably off the top of her head.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, I have researched her as well. And, you know, the whole thing is that, to support these people and these kids.
Right.
You know, because, you know, it doesn't matter. Okay, it's Marcy Bowers.
Oh, good. Can you spell it out?
Dr. Marcy Bowers, MarcieBowers.
That's awesome. I had a feeling you were looking it up as we were speaking. Good girl.
Yeah. You know me well. Yeah.
Good girl.
Yeah. And so she's actually had the surgery herself and has made it her you know, commitment to be the best in this surgery because she's gone through it herself.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. You really do want to surround yourself with people who completely understand what you're going through.
Absolutely. And there's always going to be people who don't understand. And it's kind of interesting because my brother belongs to an all-men's club that my family's been in. They do a lot of fundraising things. And so my family's been involved in the club for over 60 or 70 years. And I'm very active in the club in the fundraising and so forth. And, you know, and Ryan, my kids grew up there and did all kinds of things with me there and so forth. And but this is a real men's club. You know, it's like the working men, you know, and it's like one of the last few men's clubs around. And I used to feel that I wanted to protest and make it open to women. But then the more that I spent time there, the more I realized that it's okay for guys to have a place to go where there are no women. Because honestly, you know, we don't want to be, there's time.
It's okay,
It's okay. You don't want to be hanging with that.
So no.
The, you know, the transition there was a little trickier when Ryan started making the transition, because these guys are old school minded. You know, they don't come from a generation where this thing was talked about or that kind of thing. But I have to say that the majority of the guys in this club, because they've known Ryan since Ryan was born,
right,
are very supportive now, and they don't even give it a second thought anymore. And it was really funny one day. Ryan walked into the club, you know, dressed like she dresses very well, and she has excellent taste, and dresses into the club and is looking drop dead smashingly gorgeous. And she comes into the kitchen where I was working, you know, cooking something for a fundraiser. And then, you know, does whatever she's going to do and walks back out. And one of the guys goes, "Who was that gorgeous woman?"
That's so funny.
You know? Yeah, and it's been really interesting to watch. And I find that the men who struggle the most with it are those guys who find Ryan so attractive now, because now they are questioning their own identity, their own thinking.
Exactly. That was why I kind of asked earlier on about Justin and his reaction and what was he threatened by, because
right.
I think that's a fact for, you know, a lot of homophobics out there. You know, they start
right.
assessing, well, am I myself broken?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's interesting because at one point, we have this big festival for 4 days in the summer, and Ryan was volunteering in one of the booths with me. And at one point, one of the other gentlemen who I have worked this booth with for about, I don't know, probably close to 10 years now, actually left the booth and could not come back and work in the booth while Ryan was there. And I didn't know why until later, because one of the other girls that I worked with the booth with came back the next day and said that he can't come back with Ryan in the booth because he's so screwed up in his head.
Oh. You know, that's somebody who, again, society has placed something with, you know, in their head that makes them feel as though these thoughts are wrong.
Right. Well,
rather than just
finding,
looking at them for
right,
what they are.
But he was finding Ryan very attractive.
Yeah.
And then had a problem with it.
Yep.
You know, so I thought that was very interesting. And then other, you know, the very same weekend, one of the other guys, you know, is saying, "Ryan, wow, you're really hot," you know, and had no problem with it whatsoever.
See, it's all in perspective, right?
It's all in perspective. And really, the people who have the biggest problem with it, I think, are the ones who they question their own identity or their own, "Oh, my God, what's wrong with me?" Well,
right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just part of who you are, you know?
That's right.
So that's been very interesting to watch.
So basically, you know, the way to sum it up for everybody out there is that just be kind to one another.
Yeah,
no
matter what your differences are, whether it's, you know, your sexual preferences or your religious difference or your political difference, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We're all here to be different.
That's right.
And
thank God, right?
Thank God.
Thank God.
All the same, how boring would this place be?
Exactly. Exactly.
How boring would this place be?
I love all the colors of all the crayons in the coloring box. You know,
I agree.
That's the way to look at it. You know, the more colorful our world is, the better it is.
Absolutely. So, the more crayons, the better.
That's right.
It's boring. It's boring when it's just 8 crayons.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
so
I like the
box
of 128. You know, I go for the big box.
Absolutely.
And that's really the key, Elaine. I couldn't agree more. Is, You know, just be kind to other people, whether they're a homeless person on the street or somebody who's a different race or nationality or color or sexual identification. It really doesn't matter.
No.
Because when we all go back to our original state and our original essence of the soul and back to spirit and lose the physical body, there's no sex, there's no race, there's no gender, you know, there's no gender identification. There's none of that.
That's right.
There's none
That's
of
right.
that. But
so don't you want to really make sure that your afterlife is great because you don't carry the baggages of all your prejudices from this existence?
Right, absolutely.
You know?
And I'm going to recommend a book for people to read if they want to read about the afterlife. And this is a little bit different of a book because this was actually case studies. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Journey of the Souls by Michael Newton. And he's a psychiatrist, and he actually found through hypnosis that he could take people back to the in-between the life state and explored that in depth with many, many case studies. And what, you know, he found with client after client after client is all the same. When we leave this earth, we go back to spirit school. And that we belong to soul pods, soul families. He calls them pods, and it's all you're in the pod in a pod that has basically people are around at the same level of understanding, and that the soul comes here to accomplish things from lifetime and lifetime, and so you might be trying to accomplish compassion this lifetime, And that, you know, when we leave this physical body and we return to spirit, and a lot of religions, portray, you die and then you go in front of God to be judged or in front of a committee or whatever to be judged. But they're finding more and more through the research like this, with these case studies, is that you judge yourself.
That's right.
And you judge your... You do appear in front of guides and people who are in charge of your spiritual evolution, but you're the one who judges yourself, and you judge yourself by how you judge other people in your physical existence and how you have treated other people in your physical existence and whether or not you have accomplished your soul's purpose in that lifetime. So something really... for people to think about.
I was going to say, so heed this, people out there. Heed that, think about that, because at some point you're going to have to turn around and take a look at it again.
And I think it's a great possibility that people who are the worst offenders to be cruel to other people will come back in the next lifetime in the same situation that they were cruel to other people about.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very strong...
That's how they'll work it out. Yep.
Absolutely. Very strong.
Yep. So wouldn't you rather work everything out in this lifetime and get rid of all your baggage so
Absolutely.
That you don't have to do this again?
Absolutely. And it even, like I said, in my own family where... it's been generations of people who have been prejudiced against the LGBT community. Even my own family has made a complete 360 with no effort whatsoever, because they love Ryan so much, and to them it makes perfect sense, and they could see it even from when Ryan was a child. So just be supportive and, in whatever ways that you can on whatever level.
That's right.
And my niece has reached out to me on several occasions and has reached out to Ryan with questions and so forth. And I'm happy to talk with people, on this subject and help in any way that I can, because you know, it's something that's close to my heart, and I live it, you know,
That's
every
right.
day.
That's right. So I want you to give out your contact info, your website, because people might also be interested in, you know, some of your products, like you had talked about the shaving balm kind of
yeah.
stuff. And yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your contact?
So I have two websites. My my main website is just my name, CynthiaFontaine.com. CynthiaFontaine. And then my line of all-natural bath and body products is Alchemy of the Earth, which there's actually a link on my website, on the Cynthia Fontaine website, to Alchemy of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that website is alchemytheart.com, Alchemy of the Earth. And so either website will get them, you know, if they just go to my main website, they'll find all about me there. And then there's a link to my product line from there.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We all wish Ryan well
thank
in
you.
Her journey. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're talking about this and, you know, just bringing it out into the light, which is really what this show is all about. Anything that we talk about, we want to bring it out into the light so that people take a better look at it. The more we talk about things, the more we demystify things.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one more really quick thing also that I want to talk about, because people ask me a lot, ask me this question a lot, how do I now address Ryan? You know, and it's important because, you know, especially making the transition, people don't know, now what do I do? Because Ryan did not change her name because her name is actually Ryan Jesse.
How perfect is that? It was so preordained.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Ryan has kept the same name. And so many people, how do I identify, how do I, you know, address Ryan now? Is it he, she, you know, because they want to be politically correct. And it's even more than politically correct. It's more that they care about Ryan and they
right.
want to address
respectful.
Ryan in a way, respectful way. So, and that's really important. So when somebody does make the shift, you know, it's really important that you make the shift with them.
Right.
You know?
Good point. Good
yeah.
point.
And it's a learning curve, you know, and from a parent's perspective, you know, growing up for, you know, having Ryan growing up for 19 to 20 years as he, then all of a sudden to switch to she did take a while. And I
well, sure, and I'm sure it's easy to slip up. However, you know, it's really not a big deal for anybody out there. It's a one-letter difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now I find that it's, you know, at one point, I'd say probably after about 6 months, it just became more automatic, and and pretty much for most everybody in our lives now, it's pretty much automatic now.
That's good.
Yeah. So, but that is a question that I get asked pretty regularly. So I thought I would just put that out there.
I think that's a good thing to have put out there.
Yeah. So thanks so much for having me on. And,
absolutely.
You know, to talk about this today, because it's important, and you know, when you have somebody in the family who you love, you want to be able to support them in whatever ways you can.
Right.
And
right.
the best thing to do is support them in the way in who they feel they really are, and not try to make them change or be something different.
That's a perfect closing note. So thank you, Cynthia. And
thank you, Elaine.
So you're welcome. And so for Mystic Truth Radio, I'm Elaine Reed Cole, the Winged Mystic. And you can contact me at www.thewingedmystic.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Elaine Reed Cole, the Winged Mystic. And you can also go on and like. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Mystic Truth Radio. And until next time, everyone, let's keep talking about it. Bye now.